Blog Talk Radio.
And good afternoon, and we are excited today to have another wonderful discussion about politics, about different ideas, about different thoughts, strategies to improve our country, to improve our world. So, that being said, we're going to start off with, what is it? This is the question that needs to be done exactly today, right now. What should be done? What do we all need to be doing? What are some strategies? Knowing what we know about the world, knowing what we know about our city, any city, USA, what should we be doing? And we will start off with David. What should we be doing?
I think the scrutiny that the Chicago Police Department has been under and the demonstrations about Chicago and other police departments needs to be continued. And I think it's doing quite a bit of good, mostly because it's backed up by the video surveillance that showed that young man in Chicago walking away from the police and then being shot 16 times. And there were at least six cops present who saw this. And not only did they not make any effort to stop this crazed cop from emptying his magazine into the kid, but they all obviously got together and planned a mutual lie to put in their police reports about how he was approaching, charging, whatever, with a 3-inch knife. Then you have the other young man in Chicago who was shot down. They said he had a gun, but the family's lawyer says there isn't any gun in the video because he didn't have a gun and that it's a shadow. This can easily be determined through technological enhancement. As far as a so-called terror attack in San Bernardino, what I found most interesting about that, first of all, 14 people being killed in this country, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, as horrible and tragic as it is not unusual. You know, more than 14 people get killed in this country every goddamn day because of the availability of guns. But it was real interesting to hear these Republicans speak to a person against the proposed measures which came before Congress just by coincidence the day after the shooting about denying gun permits to people on the no-fly list, which they were totally against. And then each of them, to a person, said that gun control would not have prevented what happened with these terrorists because they got their guns legally. First of all, that's a lie, because California has banned the sale and purchase of assault weapons. The assault rifles that these people had, they got from a friend of the male shooter who was outside the state. But aside from that, these guns shouldn't be legal anyway. The fact that for them to say after 50 years or more of eliminating virtually any kind of gun control, the only kind of gun control in this country is against fully automatic weapons. Other than that, you can own any goddamn thing you want, and that's the way they have it set up. So that's like saying they didn't do anything wrong because murder is legal. It's virtually analogous to the argument that they're making. Yeah, first of all, it's a lie about California, as I said, but the fact that these guns are available on the market and therefore owning them is legal is wrong to begin with. And the idea that nothing can be done or it's too late because there's so many guns in the country now, about eight out of ten people own guns, or there's guns for at least 8 out of 10 people in this country. I'm not certain of which, but I think it's more the former, that 8 out of 10 people in this country have guns and they can have any kind they want, is something that can be reversed. Look at all the guns that were available in Europe after World War II. What did they do? They made those guns illegal. They made people turn them in. And they enacted laws strictly limiting gun ownership. So it can be done. It's not like these guns have a life of their own. And the insane slogan that these gun fanatics use, guns don't kill people, people kill people, that's like saying nuclear weapons don't kill people, people kill people, so, you know, everybody should be entitled to having a nuclear weapon if they want it. It's asinine. Basically, that being the case, they can make all the guns they want. They can make 50 billion guns a year in this country if they want to make them. Just restrict their people's access to them. If people kill people and they use guns to kill people, then we need to do something about guns. It, like I say, it's perceived that guns have a life of their own because of the Second Amendment, which is has been obscenely misinterpreted by the Supreme Court, as I recall, in their argument about the right to bear arms. They don't even mention the well-regulated militia cause that's precedent to the statement about the people's right to bear arms shall not be abridged. And also, it's absurd because they, at the time that this was enacted, in the about 1799, all they had, the most advanced weapons they had besides cannons, were smoothbore muskets that took an expert at least 30 seconds to load, and that had an accuracy rate of maybe, at the most, 100 yards. They weren't contemplating assault weapons any more than they were contemplating cars. You know, it's similar to saying the founding fathers did not have any restrictions, did not place any restrictions on people driving cars. Therefore, everybody's entitled to drive a car. It's just absolutely absurd. But in any case, that's essentially what I have to say. I think they need to start having some kind of restrictions, at least on assault weapons, and start working your way to some sensible gun control measures, even if it takes 50 years. Like Obama said, the gun advocacy people are one-issue people. That's all they care about. They would vote for Adolf Hitler, certainly Donald Trump, whose campaign is very, very similar to Hitler. They just want guns, period. And the only way they can be defeated is by people who are going to vote for gun control candidates, period. You know, you can only fight these one-issue people by being one-issue people yourself. And as far as Trump is concerned, a lot of what he says reminds me of things that I hear brought up in this conference call. The problem that Trump has with the stuff that he's saying is that a lot of it's illegal and unconstitutional. The only way he could do what he was talking about doing, or what he's been talking about doing, is establishing a fascist dictatorship in this country, and that's what people want. Democracy is a utopian ideal. You know, this country is set up on a basis of voting in essentially a two-party system, but the average person, black and white, is not someone who is concerned about democracy. The average person in any country essentially wants a strong man leader who's going to enforce the principles that they believe in and kick everybody's ass, which is exactly everybody else's ass, which is exactly what Trump is talking about doing, and people are eating it up because that's what they want too. Most people don't care about democracy. They don't care about legislation. They just want what they want. And by the time the election comes, Trump is going to have made so many enemies, the likelihood of him beating Hillary Clinton is really remote. But I tell you what, if I didn't happen to be living here, I would hope these peckerwoods get exactly what they want and get Donald Trump. And if they could clone him and make him vice president at the same time, I would be in favor of that, because that's exactly what they deserve. He said that he was asked about the minimum wage, in which he was against increasing that, and he said people are going to have to work really, really hard. In other words, he's saying that they're going to be wage slaves, which is what they are now, and there's a perpetual lie in the Republican Party that every time the minimum wage increases, the spike in unemployment, actually more the opposite is true, because in one of the truth tests after the last debate, they had a chart. They showed 10 times, including the first time in 1950, when the minimum wage was established at 75 cents an hour, every time, or 10 times that the minimum wage was increased, unemployment went down. So they're perpetuating this barefaced lie. And I tell you what, every time the minimum wage has been in legislature to be increased, every time the Republicans were against it. So essentially, if it was up to them, people would still be making 75 cents an hour, because that's what they want. They want a third world workforce of wage slaves. So in any case, that goes quite a bit beyond what you were talking about. What I think needs to be done, well, I guess I've said enough about that, so I'll leave it to somebody else.
Okay, we'll come back to you. What we're talking about today is, based upon what we see, what we know, what needs to be done now. And it doesn't have to be on the subject that David just talked about. It could be on any subject, because as David just mentioned, we all have different interests. We all have different belief systems. We all think differently. We act differently. We support different kinds of activities. And so that being said, we're going to turn this over now to Dorothy. I think you wanted to say something next.
Yes, I sure do, Nye. And I sure do different with certain things. Now, like me, I like some things Donald Trump say. And I know people may get offensive when I say that. And I like the part where he said that he wants to check all families. And I don't see anything wrong with that, because I think those families need to be checked out, because they have trained them to be leaders. They have trained them to be killers. And they train their kids from little bit of children in order to be killed. I saw a video the other day where a little boy was no more than 3 or 4 years old. They had a big knife in his hand. I will post the video and send it to you. And they was telling him to cut off the head of the enemy. He had a stuffed teddy bear, and the head of the enemy was United States. And that's what he was teaching the young man. So I don't have no problem with him checking out these families, because it's no way in hell that that mother and that father and that sister went to that house and saw all that explosives, all them guns and different things there. They is a lie that they cannot tell me that they did not know that explosive was in that house. I have no problem with them, him checking the families. Then I have no problem with him blocking them from coming over. I have no problem with it at all.
What do you mean by checking the families?
And what I mean by checking the families.
What does that mean?
Now, let me explain myself.
Please do.
Because he's saying that he was going to do a background check on them to see, have they been reaching out to ISIS, to see have they been reaching out to terrorist organizations. That's what he said that he was going to do. And I have no problem with that, because after a while, they only bombed us one time. And people get offended when we say this. They only bombed us one time. After a while, we'll be just like the other nations. We will not be able to walk down the street. You can't hardly go to a movie or different things now. After a while, we're going to be just like other countries. We won't even be safe in our own country.
Well, one of the things is that is exactly what the forces want you to feel. They want you to feel these fears like that and be so scared to do things so you can allow them to take certain freedoms away from you. They ain't bombed up nobody. And whatnot. First of all, just like David said, they didn't bomb us and whatnot, and they ain't going to bomb us. Let me explain something to you. These people are supposed to be the enemies of Israel. This is what so how come they ain't bombing Israel? Why are all these bombings and these things that are happening in France, in America, all over the place? Does that make any sense to you? They want you to have those kind of fears so you could say, look, we're in fear of our life. Whatever you have to do is fine, and they will stop taking freedoms away from you, not in big gulps, in small increments, so you won't be able to determine that this, what they did to you, is not any worse than what was done the last time. They do it in small, like slicing. It's called a salami effect. Slicing a piece of salami is very thin. One slice is no thicker than the last one. But by the time they get through slicing, you look back and the whole salami has been sliced. This is a political theory. All this stuff about ISIS and them bombing us and all that is a bunch of malarkey. They are not our enemies, first of all. And they're created by the Americans in America. That's where they're getting it from. Stop falling into the trap that these people are laying out for you. Don't buy into that. Our people, African people in America, we don't need to be worried about ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and all of that. As Chris Rock said, we need to be worried about Al-Qaeda. It's as simple as that. Now, you could buy into what they say and believe that. I don't. I'm not worried about getting blown up or shot or massacred. I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about me or my son getting killed by a cop because of some paranoid white, so-called white person thinking that they're a criminal. This is the same thing they did during the Cold War with communism. We're supposed to be worried about the communists. They're hanging out people in the South and all over the country through both pants legs, and we're supposed to be worried about the communists. Now the communist boogeyman is gone. Now they got the Islamic and the Muslim boogeyman. We have to understand that. We need to separate ourselves from this society as far as worrying about. Let them worry about that. We need to straighten out our communities and protect ourselves from people that are right here. Our enemies are right here. More than likely, they're Christian people, not Muslims. And I ain't worried about no damn Muslim. So when you talk about they need to check out people, are they checking out families that are raising their kids to be Ku Klux Klaners? I seen a film 4 years ago called American Reich about American Nazis in the United States, and you should see what they had these kids doing, talking about killing the niggers and the Jews and this and that. Do they need to be checking them out? Those are our enemies. Don't worry about it. I'm not worried about no Al-Qaeda.
They need to check them all out.
I'd like to interject something, if I may. Trump said that we should go after the families of these terrorists. When he says go after, he also made a separate statement that we should go after their wives. He wasn't talking about checking anybody out. He's talking about waterboarding, torture. Because that's what he's into. The man is a fascist. He is not a Democrat or a Republican. And the stuff he's talking about cannot be accomplished in a democratic system. A lot of stuff he's talking about is just out and out illegal. And frankly, I don't have any particular aversion. First of all, I think anybody who's in this country illegally needs to be thrown out, period.
Amen.
I don't give a damn who they are. And I agree with him on that. And my concerns about the Muslims are very minimal because, like Marvin said, we have enough problems of our own. We're oppressed in our own goddamn country. You know, if he wants to keep the Muslims out or whatever, you know, I don't think he's going to be able to do it. First of all, he's not going to get elected. That's virtually certain. But I believe that's unconstitutional. If he wants to reestablish waterboarding, I think that might also at this point be unconstitutional. He'd have to do it over Congress. And the only way he can do that is by establishing a fascist dictatorship. Donald Trump is somebody with his own empire. In his mind, he is an emperor. He is not similar to Napoleon, similar to Hitler. He doesn't give a damn about what other people think. Somebody was disagreeing with him. One of his Republicans, guys standing next to him in this last debate, and he said, I made $10 billion. I don't have to listen to this man. And that's his general attitude about all of us. He regards the average person with no more regard than you would have for an ant that you incidentally stepped on.
On that note, we're going to take it to Brother Brown. Is that you out there?
Yes, ma'am. Good morning. Good evening, everybody. How you doing?
Good afternoon. How are you, and what are you thinking about today? What do we need to do? What needs to happen now?
Well, first of all, we must understand that Donald Trump I don't know why, and this is no disrespect to anybody's thought process, but Donald Trump is nothing but a hot air blower. He will never be elected president. He doesn't have the political clout or the savvy to hold an office of that magnitude. And if he was to start anyway, it would should have been with an internship in some kind of government political office. So I don't know, Sister Dorothy, I understand your concerns, but Donald Trump, you have to look at how he speaks out of his mouth. He speaks out of both sides of his mouth. Why should we be worried about Assyrian people coming over here? And when we look at the United States, we look at an imperialistic government. We look at what other people see us as, not how we live in this country. Other people don't see African-American communities because we are not visible in trying to dictate any kind of political policies to them. See, we don't go around the world other than in uniform telling other people how to live, catching hell trying to live in our own domains right here. And that's what we should be worried about. If these people have an ideology that they didn't know said that they hate Black America, they said that they hate imperialistic America. And we must understand the words and the definition of the word. Just like we said Latin America, do we understand what that terminology means? Latin America means just what it says. Latin was a language derived by Europeans. That was the major language of European people that they put in context so that other people could not understand. Nobody could understand the meaning of Latin unless you were taught Latin. And when they said Latin American countries, that meant the countries that were established over the indigenous people of those regions by the Catholic Church, where Latin America came from. Every country within the ramifications of Latin America, Central America, were organized and the people were castrated, raped, murdered, and brought into the fold of the Latin language. So when we see imperialistic power, well, and they did the same thing when they came to this part of the world, to the Western Hemisphere. They conquered the people. Why do you think English is the major language around the world? Because the Anglo-Saxons made sure that they would have locks on language. Not, the words that we use in our everyday dialect are not derived from African sources, which is the descent of our people. They're derived from either Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, or Latin Vulgate. So when we look at the words that they use and the connotation of these words, we have to understand where these ideologies come from. Democracy, what does it mean? It goes back to the Greek. See, every word that we use does not come out of Africa. We had our own words, we had our own dialects, we had our own language. But that has been stripped from us. We don't even know our language. We don't even know our history, more or less our language. So when we sit up there and try to feed into a Donald Trump or Marco Rubio or some of these people like that, what we're doing is we're doing a disservice to ourselves, because how many of us is taking the time to go to our own public school and see how many of our children can't read, see how many of our children are failing these so-called SOL tests, and what can we do as a community to boost up to boost these elements up so that our children can be progressive in their education process. While we run around, Donald Trump's child is not illiterate. Donald Trump's children, grandchildren are not illiterate. It is our community that is illiterate. So while we're focusing on some foolishness like this, we should be trying to take care of our own.
Amen.
Take care of our own. That's what you think. That's what needs to be done. Teach our own children.
I think anybody can have any concerns they want. I don't, I don't believe in the thought police. If black people want to be concerned or are concerned about terrorism, I don't think that's stupid or a denial of our identity. I think anybody's entitled to emphasize whatever they think is important to them. And I don't think because, you know, somebody is involved in education, you know, elementary and secondary education, that that's the only thing that's important. And I think all the ideas that are presented here, you know, whether one person or another thinks they're important, I think they're all important.
Who terrorized African-American people more than Europeans?
No. I made a statement about what I think people are entitled to be concerned about, which is whatever they, this is the topic of this conference call is what needs to be done now. That covers a great variety of topics and interests, and I think everybody's interests should be respected, period.
And, you know, that's one of the reasons why the African community is fragmented in America is because we can't focus our train of thought on things that's going to make us progress as a people. See, when we come into this so-called political arena and all of this foolishness that was not created for us or by us, we have no inclusion in that element.
I disagree with that. I think we do.
If you let me finish, I know you're going to disagree, and you're entitled to that disagreement. But if you look back at the beginning of the embryonic stages of this country, as you said about the gun control law, black people, it was a long time before a black man was ever able to even hold a gun. The only time that they could hold a gun or own a gun was following the Civil War. If you were a black man and you were caught with a weapon, you were locked up. You didn't have a right to have a gun because they felt that if you had a gun, you would rebel against white people. Now, we got to deal with reality. The Second Amendment was not written for black people. That was not written for no African person that lived within the confines of the United States. However, after process and evolving of this country, we were able to afford guns, we were able to own guns. Who owned any more guns than the Deacons of Defense down in North Carolina when they had to defend themselves against the Klan? That was a means of our defense. You know, and we need to understand that regardless of what people think about the ownership of guns, as you said earlier, guns don't kill people. But who has killed more people with guns? And who hasn't? I mean, Sister Dorothy, I heard you talk about the video you saw. Do you know who made that video? Sister Dorothy?
Uh-oh, maybe she has slipped out on us, I think.
Yeah, she has to be very careful of what she see on the Internet, what she see on YouTube, and the clips that people send you on Facebook, you don't know who makes these clips. You have no idea who makes these clips. And if you look, I live in a rural area in America, and every given Saturday, you see little white kids with their daddies and their camouflage clothes going into the woods, especially during this time of hunting season, teaching their children at the ages of 7, 8, 9 on up how to kill.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. No, I'm not kidding. They even have guns right now that are made primarily for young youth. They have youth shotguns. They have shotguns that are legal weapons that are made just so young people, young kids like that can handle them. See?
Well, I guess you're right, because I do remember about 2 years ago it was a training session and a little girl shot and killed the trainer at the range. You're right, and I think she was about that age. You all remember that?
Yeah.
It was a little white girl.
I remember it.
They've always made guns tailor-made for children. That's nothing new. Since they've been making guns, because in a certain period of time in the history of this country, people hunted. Because people hunted to eat. And so that's
right.
Something that's not true. They've always done that. and whatnot. The bottom line is, this is the last society on Earth that should have universal gun ownership. I'm not against it. All I'm saying is Americans are too violent and too racist to have universal gun ownership, and the history of this country has proven it. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't have guns, but I'm saying that's why I feel this is the last place that should have guns, because we have a track record that is unequaled by any other branch of humanity on this planet and whatnot. Problem is, we live here, we got to defend ourselves, so you know, you're damn if you do and you're damn if you don't.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, and I've mentioned this to Marvin in our private discussions. If I kept a gun in this house, I can think of at least two times when I would have felt totally justified in killing somebody in here for disrespecting my house or being disruptive. And you know, there's a lot of people in that position. So, obviously, the more guns you have, the more people you're going to have getting killed and shot, period.
Well, I live with that,
but that's the reality of it. I know damn good and well that I would have, you know, I would have shot somebody or come within a hair of shooting somebody in my own house because of their behavior in here.
Well, let me say this.
I could say the same thing, and I would say that there are probably several people that I would have killed a long time ago. If you look at the incidents of road rage in this country and the length that people go to with it, if universal gun ownership was okay, and people would be killing people in this. If this country was any more armed than it is now, it would be ridiculous. It would be chaos because people in this country, number one, they're just not that adult mentally. And they're not that healthy mentally. Americans are just extremely violent culture and whatnot. And that's what we have going here. We're just as violent. We had great teachers. We're just as violent as the so-called white man. Because we do everything he does because we're so in love with his ass. And that's one of the reasons why I don't have a gun. Why I don't know. I don't come from a family of gun owners. And I grew up in New York in the 50s and whatnot. And we probably were the only people that didn't have guns. I'm not into guns, but I'm not against people having it, but I don't agree with it.
The reason
I understand why people have guns.
The reason I own a gun is because when I was in the South, when I was living in the South as a community activist, there was a young man that was killed by two police officers. His name was Antoine Cedric. They did a video of him on HBO years ago and showed how the two white police officers hung him with his own belt. When I started working on the case along with his uncle, I was chased by Klan. Okay? And I made it a vow to myself, not to anybody else's protection, but I made it a vow to myself to own as many guns as I could put my hands on. Because I'm not a convicted felon. And sure, I have a right to bear arms, and I'm going back home. Because if I ever was in the predicament of being chased and cornered like I was at that point in time, then I would have to use by whatever means necessary to come out of that situation. But as far as me, just because I have a weapon, pulling a weapon in a fit of rage, that's something that comes within the constitutional, within your own intuition, of what a weapon is for. See, if I get in a disagreement with a person, that's not a reason for me as a human being who understands the matter of life and death to go in there and take the gun and go and kill that person. But if that person invades my privacy or my home and my family, then by all means they're going to carry them out of the bag. And I don't care who it is. As long as I cannot defuse a situation, and that's something that these police officers ought to be taught. And that's something that we're working on up here in Salisbury, Maryland, with the police chief, how these officers need to be trained to defuse situations before they resort to gun violence. And in the killing of that young brother in Chicago who was only wielding a knife, I almost witnessed that behind a mentally deranged woman who was killed in 1991. 1989, she was killed by two police officers in Norfolk, Virginia, because for sleeping on a bus stop. Now, she was mentally ill, and nothing was ever done about it. You know, and they knew who she was. But they came up upon her. She had a butter knife. She had a knife that didn't even have a decent blade on it, and they shot her cold. So when these elements present themselves, we have to understand these so-called police officers who are supposed to be trained are untrained. Because if you can defuse a situation, if you can defuse it, then why not shoot that person in the arm or the leg? You don't have to kill that person. You know,
they only shoot to kill, Brother Brown. That's
I understand
what you're taught,
that.
Center mass.
I understand that. I didn't go through the police academy, but I was right there at the police academy in Salisbury, Maryland, where they had the gun range and all of that, and I understand what they do. In the sheriff's department, in the police departments, that's what they're training their people to do. Shoot to kill first and ask questions later. But I'm saying for the everyday human being that has a weapon, I do not have to even carry my weapon. Because if there's nothing that I cannot defuse with my own human reasoning, then I walk away. That option is mine. But as far as the terrorists coming over here, coming into my community, blowing up my community center, blowing up things that are not relevant to anybody on the other side of the world, I fear to differ with you because that will not be a problem for us. There have always been factions, not just of the Islamic world, but going all the way back to Sacco and Vanzetti, who have disagreed with the imperialistic elements of this United States. And there will always be people who feel like the United States is an imperialistic power imposing their wills upon other nations who don't have that power. Now, if that's the way that these people feel, the only thing that the United States can do is change the way that they police the world.
And on that note, go on, Marvin.
No, I agree with what he said, and I have no problem with what he said about defending yourself. I understand that. I was in a similar situation. I used to moonlight working in gas stations years ago when my kids were kids, and I had an altercation with this guy. This white guy came in and was going to change his oil or something. I worked these with swing shifting, 12 to, you know, 8 or whatever, and I said, you can't do that on the gas station, on this property. You have to go somewhere else. One word led to another, and, you know, he sped off, and what threatened me and sped off. I called the police. I told the police what happened. They found him. They must have roughed him up or did something to him. This guy that was working there with me told me that guy said he's going to come back and kill you. So I didn't take a chance. I went out and bought myself a shotgun and whatnot, and I kept that shot because I was isolated at this gas station. It's right off the freeway in San Bruno, California. Somebody could shoot somebody and be never caught. And I had a couple of shells in my pocket, and I kept the shotgun there just in case. I wasn't going to take no chance. I understand that and whatnot. But as far as just owning the gun, and everything, this wasn't part of my nature. But if you need a gun to defend yourself because of where you live, that's it. I understand that. I totally do. I just don't think most Americans in this country, black or white, are mentally responsible enough to own guns. If you look at the murder rate and the reason why people kill each other and the things that happen, that's what I'm looking at. But I'm not totally against guns, even though I don't have guns and all that. I'm just looking at the whole picture, and that's just how I feel. But I understand what Brother Brown is saying about that. In a situation like that where you live in there where the Klan is going to chase you and all of that, yeah, you do need some guns.
And I got some, too. And I'm going to keep on hitting.
All right. Then, well, we're going to be checking out for today, and we'll be back on our regular time, 2 o'clock, next Tuesday, p.m. Looking forward to it. Have a great day, and thanks, everybody.
Oh, you don't like Brother Brown?